Moncrief on News Talk.
It is time for farming once again on News Talk. And Mairead Lavery joins us once again. Good afternoon, Mairead. How's the weather?
Good afternoon, Sean. A lovely afternoon here.
Actually. Ah, that's good.
Nice. Really lovely and warm and calm and good distance as well. Very good.
And that's good hedge cutting weather.
Well, whether it is or not, it's something you can at least do at this time of the year. There's a closed period for cutting hedges. You're not really supposed to do it. Well, you're not supposed to do it. You can get fined. But from the 1st of September to the 28th of February, you can go and check your hedges and cut them and whatever you need to do with them. And bear in mind, this year we've had two named storms in Ellen and Francis. And it was Ellen and Francis. So, you know, you want to give a good check to your boundary fences or your boundary ditches, and to make sure that everything is intact, and anything that's kind of anyway dangerous or overhanging would want to be taken off. And it's also a good time, you know, like here at home here now, we pot up a lot of beech and oak and ash and even sycamore seedlings, or, you know, what would you call them, seeds, and let them grow. And then we plant them out when they're about nearly 2 metres tall. And so it's a good time now when you're tidying up your ditches and fences to have a look to see where you could put in a couple of, you know, native Irish trees or more hedging or whatever. So it's a nice time to be checking on all of that.
And this month is also going to be this year's census of agriculture.
Well, it's not. It's a census, actually. Oh, and just the other thing is, just be very safe, will you, when you're using hedge cutters around trees and hedges and ditches. You really do need it, and, you know, preferably people could work together, so if anything happens there's somebody there to get help. So yeah, the census of agriculture takes place every 10 years, and it's a baseline study. It's sent out to about 140,000 farmers in the country, and you're legally obliged to answer this, to the best of my knowledge now. Certainly they'll give out to you a sharpish if you don't, and you keep getting letters from them. But anyway, it started on the last week, and it's running until the 17th of September. So what it wants to know, it wants to know, like, the livestock numbers on the farm, what you're doing with the land, the management of it. And it's kind of provides the benchmark statistics from which you kind of look at, you know, these are the 2020 statistics, and you can kind of base everything else for the next 10 years back on them. So important document for it to be able to do future planning in terms of agriculture. Like, for instance, you know, it could show up in the last 10 years, there's been a 90% drop in people under 30 farming. You know, it's that kind of statistic that, you know, you need to be aware of, or that there's even more older people farming, or that the number of suckling cows in the country has gone down by 30%. So it's to get that really clear picture of what's happening across every farm in the country. And it runs, the farms are supposed to be back with the department, by the Department of Agriculture, by the 17th of September.
Now, and you just mentioned farm prices there, and regularly you do, but why did a lamb sell for over 400,000 euros?
Why do people buy Rolls Royces or Ferraris or Lamborghinis or whatever the latest James Bond model car is? And why do they want it? And why do they? I mean, it's got four wheels, it's an exhaust, it's got an engine, it's got a steering wheel, it's got a couple of seats. For the life of me, I don't know why people spend this kind of money on sheep. It's eye-watering. And this was a six-month-old textile ram lamb. Now, he's great breeding, really great breeding. But he was sold in the Scottish National Sale in Lanark, and it took place in the last few days. And do you know how much this ram lamb made? Now, this is a ram lamb that's never even been tried or tested. He could fall over in a ditch in the morning, and that'd be the end of him. He could get bullied by another bigger, older ram. Anything could happen to him. But some group of farmers they're more pedigree breeders. They've gone out and they've paid 413,000 euro for him. 413,000 euro. Like, it is eye-watering. And we reckon if, you know, Finnish lambs, the ordinary commercial sheep and the commercial flock, Finnish lambs will make about 120 euro a head. So he'd have to sire 3,500 lambs just to get his money back. So if you're checking him out on Google or whatever, his name is Sportsman Double Diamond. And by golly, that fella is certainly double diamond. And so, you know, for the rest of us ordinary farmers, you know, it's time to ensure that the rams that we have are in good order.
Right.
But we certainly won't be looking at those kind of prices.
They're okay, but was there anything specific about this lamb that people went, you know, nuts about him?
Yeah, well, he was just when he looks very well in these photographs. Now, I do have to hand it to him. he does look well, but does he look well to that tune? No, he came in the top 1%. He was sold with an index in the top 1% of the breed. So, you know, the Texan rams are very popular. But so he's in the very top 1%. And his father, I think, made about 66,000 pounds last year. He made that, I think. And his mother was also a very expensive sheep in her day. So the breeding history is very good across the offspring of what now the family name would be the Double Diamond, and the progeny would be very good off that ram. But you know, it's for breeding purposes. It's for show purposes. It's the show pony. In the yard, it attracts people to that particular breed. It attracts them to that breeding family, and you know, it's your shop window. And if you've got the most expensive Texel ram in the world in your flock, I mean, that's the flock that people want to be able to buy rams and ewe lambs from, and it drives up the money.
Right. Well, he won't be making any appearances in the west of Ireland anytime soon, based on the farm assist payments.
No. Well, he certainly won't, because the farm assist, by the way, is it's the payment for it's the equivalent of unemployment assistance, and it's mean tested payment for farmers. And at the moment, there's 5,971 farmers getting that funding from the Department of Social Protection, and it's €203 a week. So the latest figures from the department very clearly show, you know, the divide that there exists in farming in the country. You've got big numbers of farmers in Donegal, Galway, Mayo. I mean, they're three of the, you know, in terms of livestock numbers and all the rest of it, they'd probably rank in the top five in the country. Top five or six anyway. Cork would probably be ahead of them, maybe Waterford. But in terms of where farm assist is required, certainly the West Coast, it's much more a prominent, you know, requirement than it is on the East Coast or the South, for that matter. Donegal, over 1,000 farmers in receipt of it. Mayo, nearly just short of 1,000. Galway, Kerry, Leitrim and Roscommon also had very significant numbers of claimants. And in contrast, in Kildare, there was just 19 claimants for it. Mm-hmm. In Wicklow, 36 and 68 in Kilkenny, which is a very big farming county.
Yeah.
So 2/3 of the claimants, again, were the older age group where, you know, they've maybe no other income to fall back on. And they certainly, because this is a means-tested payments, they would have very little income extra to fall back
that's
on.
That's a story we've told again and again, right? We have to leave it there, I'm afraid, though. Somebody has texted in to say that lamb. Was it a Lamborghini? Mairead, thanks a million for talking to us today.
Moncrief on News Talk.